Welcome, everybody, to this teleseminar. I am interviewing Dean Geyer. He's from Milford, Delaware. He's got four kids. Started out raised bed gardening about 5 years ago and started with a book in one hand and a pack of seeds in the other, and he's been going great guns ever since. He says that the reason he loves raised bed gardening is because it gives him full control over what he's doing. He can either work really hard and build a very big garden, or he can be lazy and build a small one, and it doesn't seem to matter. So, welcome to the call, Dean.
Thank you. Thank you, Craig.
And maybe you could give us a little more detail as how you got started in raised bed gardening.
Well, I was never a gardener. I was always a little jealous of these people who have these giant gardens, and they'd be out, you know, with these huge harvests. But I thought it was just too much work to get involved in, too much to learn, too much to keep up with, and too much work, and I'm lazy. I was at a yard sale, and I was looking at some books, and this book just like popped out and grabbed me, and it was called Square Foot Gardening by Mel Bartholomew, and I looked at the cover and looked at the back, and I was like, now this sounds pretty intriguing, because what it promised was that you didn't need a whole lot of area to grow a really productive garden, and it wouldn't take a lot of time, and it wouldn't take much energy, and it didn't take much water, and just there were so many pluses to it. I was like, I'm going to buy this book. Well, I went to pay for the book, and it was a dime. And that was in my budget, so I went ahead and bought the book. And then I took it home and I actually read it, unlike a lot of books on my shelf. And I got started. And it's, like you said, I've been going great guns ever since.
So the best investment of 10 cents you've had in a long time.
Yes.
So what do you feel are the advantages of raised bed gardening?
Well, the advantages, there's less work. There's less grunge work, as in weeding and hoeing and all that stuff that, you know, I'm not a manual labor type of guy, and it just doesn't work for me. Like I said, I'm lazy, but the idea of less work, not much space, less water, less expense, less, no weeding, well, not no weeding, but very little weeding. And it sounded like it was going to be more fun. And I didn't want to produce food for the world. I just wanted to be able to go out to the garden and, you know, pick a little bit of lettuce or get a carrot or, you know, just a casual type thing. And that's what I like about this particular way of gardening.
Well, it doesn't sound like you're using a rototiller either.
Nope. No. And I've been behind one of those things before, and man, that's work. Especially in Delaware. I mean, we've got the hardest ground. The only thing we don't have in our ground is rocks, but we've certainly got hard ground.
So don't you miss all that bouncing around behind the rototiller?
I only did it one time.
And that was
enough to teach you.
For
me. Yeah. Luckily, I learned that lesson very early in my career.
Well, if you're going to do raised bed gardening, exactly how do you do that?
Well, I guess it's the thing. There's basically 10 things you need to know about this type of gardening, and it's very simple. You need, like what I have in my yard is I have a 4x4 garden plot, and I built a box that's 4 foot by 4 foot and 8 inches tall, and I filled it with a mixture of compost, peat moss, and vermiculite, and equal parts, and put it in the box, and then I went ahead and tied string off to make a grid pattern of 1 foot squares. And so what I've got is 16 squares inside that four foot by four foot raised bed garden. Can you picture what I'm saying?
It's almost like a piece of graph paper, but it's
exactly.
bigger.
Exactly. And then it's really simple. Each square gets a different flower or a different vegetable or a different herb. And depending on how large that vegetable grows, determines how many seeds or transplants you put in each one of those little squares, those 1 foot squares. The nice thing about it is you're not running up and down rows, and you're not, when it comes time to water that 4 foot by 4 foot square raised bed garden, you're watering 16 square feet as opposed to maybe 5 or 6 or 10 16-foot rows. So you can imagine how much water you've saved and how much ground you don't have to dedicate to your garden. And you've got a nice, neat, tidy package that looks great. And everybody, when they see it, they go like, you can do that? Yeah, you can do that. And it works really well. The guy that wrote the book 25 years ago. And millions of gardeners later, it's still, in a sense, it's still new because there's so many people that don't know about it. But when it comes time to water, I just fill up my bucket with water from the hose, let the sun warm it up, and then I go out, and 5 minutes later, I'm done watering. My neighbor with all the rows, he's running the water for an hour to 2 hours a day. And with the cost of water these days, it's rather expensive. And the coolest part about this is, as soon as you finish harvesting a square, let's say it's lettuce, you just go ahead and add some more compost to that square and put a different variety of vegetable or herb or flower in there. So you can just keep rotating your crops and just roll with it the whole summer. It's pretty neat.
And I would suspect that you reach it from the sides rather than walking through it, because
that's,
you've got plants in every square.
Yeah, one of the first things in his book that he says is you do not step in the box. You don't compact that soil, and so you just work it from the sides, and you can reach everything that's in there and take very good care of it, and you have a nice lush garden in a very small space.
Now, you mentioned there was some weeding, but not much. What do you mean?
Because that whole 4x4 box is covered with vegetables and what other plants that you're growing, it's all very concentrated. So what weeds do grow there, you can take care of them really quickly, whereas opposed to when you're gardening in rows, man, you're weeding, you know, acres and acres and acres of ground. And this is, it's all in a confined area, and you can just get it knocked out. I mean, for a 1 4-foot by 4 foot square, you might spend, if you've tried really hard, an hour and a half a week maintaining that garden.
Well, that's certainly not very much time. That's amazing.
You know, when you're a lazy person like me, it's very appealing.
Now, can you grow things like carrots, like pumpkins? You know, pumpkins are very viney, and they take up a lot of space, and so do tomatoes. Can you grow those in a square-foot garden?
Yeah, you can put a bush tomato or a vining tomato into a 1 foot square area and grow it just fine. That's a larger plant, so you can't really put two tomatoes in one square, but you can put one in one square. And as far as the vining tomatoes, you just train them to go up a trellis or a fence at the back of your garden. And that's one neat trick about the square foot garden. You can do vertical gardening as well as you can grow anything in those square foot gardens.
Well, now I have neighbors who are just used to having row after row after row of vegetables, and they complain that even though they've got row after row, they still don't grow enough. How much can you grow in 16 square feet?
In a summer. Well, you could have two tomato plants. You could have 16 pole bean plants. That would be in the back row, growing up the back of a trellis. The next rows forward, you could have a couple eggplant, a couple peppers, a couple broccoli, and that would leave you, let's see, 2, 4, 6, 8. That would leave you 6 squares left to fill with plants, and you could fill the rest of those squares with carrots and peas and leaf lettuce, anything you wanted, herbs, flowers, whatever. And that would be enough produce. You're not going to feed your family on it, but it would certainly give you some fresh produce for salads and things for the summer. And if you want to feed the neighborhood or grow more, you just, you know, make another bed, another 4-foot by 4-foot bed. And now that would add more time to your wheel. I mean, you'd have to invest another hour and a half to maintain all that.
But you could double your output.
You could double your output.
Now, would you bump the two together?
If you built two squares? I wouldn't do it. And traditionally, it's not done. Usually, you try to leave 2 or 3 feet between your beds so that you can get work around them and still be able to reach in.
So you're saying we need to leave enough passageway for people to get into, and you have to be a little generous on that size because the plants will start growing into that space.
Exactly.
But you could have a whole bunch of these squares, assuming you have a yard big enough for it.
There's people that do. There are some people, you know, the traditional farm stand out along the road. There are people that have square foot gardens that keep their farm stand supplied. Now, they've got many of those squares, but it's still not as much space as they would need to do the same amount of produce in a traditional row-type garden. I mean, if you think about the rows, I mean, that's for commercial purposes. That is not, I mean, that's the way my parents and grandparents gardened, but that doesn't mean that's the way it should be. I can still picture my grandfather turning his garden every spring. He had this disgusting hat. Well, my grandmother thought it was disgusting. He would spit on his hands, clap them together, and look at me and go, "Boy, your grandma hates it when I do that." And then he'd grab his shovel and he'd start turning the dirt, and it would take him half a day to turn all the dirt for his garden. And but you know, if you've got square foot gardens, you don't have to do all that. You don't even need a shovel.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. I know we already determined you don't need a rototiller, and you just said you don't need a shovel. So if I'm built, you know, after I built the square foot garden, what tools do I need?
Well, what you would need is you need the bucket for the water or a watering can. You would need a trowel and a small spade, and that's all you need.
Well, that's not
much. How does that sound?
It sounds awfully easy. It sounds almost too good to be true.
Well, that's what I thought when I was reading the book, and maybe that's why I bought it. Was like, it can't work. It can't possibly work, but it works great.
So it sounds like it's relatively easy. It's low maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the hardest part of square foot gardening?
Well, the hardest part is really the initial steps of getting, you know, just the hardest part's thinking about getting the box, finding things to put that box together with, and filling that box up with the the soil mixture. That's the hardest part, is thinking about it. When it comes to doing it, it's really pretty easy. The first garden that I did, I had four railroad ties, some cinder blocks, and an old dead log. And it was pretty rustic looking, but it worked.
So you put the square together with your railroad ties or 2x6s or whatever, and you nail it together or screw it together so it stays together, doesn't fall apart, and you just lay it right on the ground.
Yes, right on the ground, right on top of the ground.
You don't have to prepare that ground at all.
No.
That's pretty easy.
It is. It's very easy.
So you're saying the hardest part is actually figuring out where you want to put the square foot garden in your yard.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Be sure it has enough sun and you can get the water to it.
6 to 8 hours. 6 to 8 hours of sun. You want it relatively, ideally it's relatively close to your back door so that you don't have to carry the bucket of water too far. You might break a sweat.
No, well, we wouldn't want to do that.
Not me, no. I'm actually not as lazy as I sound.
I'm sure you're not, but... So watering is just, you just grab a bucket of water and let the sun warm it up,
mm-hmm.
and then
put it in
a sprinkling can.
Sprinkle
mm-hmm.
it on, and do that 2-3 times a week as needed, and away you go.
So how much dirt do I put in this? You said you'd raised it up 8 inches, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So how much dirt do you put in there? Do you put 8 inches of dirt in?
I put 8 inches of dirt in.
So you fill it right to the rim?
Right to the rim. And it'll settle out a little bit over the course of the summer. And, of course, as you pull old plants, the spent plants out, you need to add some more compost. That's a natural fertilizer. That's the other thing. You're not using any... If you don't have to use chemicals, you don't have to use fertilizers. You don't have to use Miracle-Gro.
So it's basically an organic way of growing your garden.
Yes. Yep.
Well, a lot of people will like that.
Yeah.
So you told me that there was some secret to growing melons.
Yeah, this was in the book, and I didn't believe it. I didn't think it would work. But what he does is, the first time we grew cantaloupe to test this out, and you train the cantaloupe going up the at the back of the garden. You can build a fence or a trellis for climbing, for the vegetables to climb on, the vining ones, and you let the vines start going up, and as they start to fruit. You take pantyhose or netting and you push the fruit through the fence or through the trellis and put it in the pantyhose, leave lots of room for growth, and then you tie the pantyhose off onto the trellis. And that supports the melon as it grows and keeps the plant from wanting to fall back.
So you're basically creating a hammock kind of thing for the fruit?
Yes.
But it also takes the weight of the fruit off the vine, so the vine isn't stressed as much.
Right.
So you got to be sure you have lots of pantyhose. That could be embarrassing going to this grocery store and buying pantyhose.
Yep.
But I guess we can get over that, right?
We can get over that pretty quick.
It's for my melon. I'm not sure they believe that. Now, you told me that you had a soil recipe which was about equal parts of peat moss, compost, and vermiculite.
Yes.
How do you just throw it in and then mix it inside the square, or do you do something else?
The way I've always done it, I just mix it up in my driveway and then wheelbarrow it over to the new bed, and that seems to work best for me.
So you wouldn't recommend You wouldn't recommend just throwing the three bags into the square and mixing it there, but mix it outside the square and then pour it in.
I've tried it both ways, and it's easier for it's easier for me to do it in the driveway, and then because I've tried it before in the other way, and it just slops over the sides, and it's a mess. I don't feel like it gets mixed as well. It's probably just the perfectionist in me.
So we're going to
want to try it either way.
So basically, you're recommending that we mix it somehow outside the square.
Yes.
And then pour it into the square, even with the top. And you're putting about, well, a 2x8 isn't really 8 inches. It's about 7.5 inches. So you're putting about 7.5 inches of soil in there.
Yes.
And then I mark off, I need to mark off the squares.
Right.
With, you said
you can
string.
Use string or string or lath. Or,
I would almost think the lath would be better. It'd be easier to see, wouldn't it?
I've always done string, but lath would certainly work just as well.
And then do you use string to further subdivide each square if you need to, or how do you do that?
No, I just, like, if I'm planting leaf lettuce, I can put 16 leaf lettuce seeds or 16 leaf lettuce plants in a one-foot square, and I just visually divide it up four across and four down and fill in the rest so that I can get those 16 plants started. And I'll just put two or three seeds in each hole and then cover and water. And that fills up one square, so I've got my lettuce. And carrots, I'll do 8 or 12, depending on whether they're big carrots or small carrots.
So it's basically you just sort of eye it up and divide it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Once you've got the grid in place, I mean, it's really easy to divide a square, a one-foot square up with your eyes. And, like I said, a tomato plant is, you can only get one tomato plant in a square. But what's kind of neat is you could plant radish seeds underneath, alongside that tomato in the corners, and have radishes growing underneath the tomato while it's growing.
That's pretty nice.
Mm-hmm. So you can do companion planting.
And you could put some carrots maybe in there.
Sure.
Something that's low underneath something that's tall.
Right.
So that they can still get some sunshine.
Mm-hmm. And that seems to work pretty well. And it's just, the nice thing about it is you can experiment as much, you can get as creative and as crazy as you want with a square foot garden. Or you can be traditional. It doesn't, it's whatever you want to do with it. It's not such a big undertaking that it's going to wreck your summer if, your crazy idea turns out to be the craziest idea that anybody's ever come up with.
So I'm gathering that if I decided to buy the parts, like 2x6s, all I need is some nails,
yep.
The 4 2x6s, 4 feet
yep.
long,
yep.
Figure out where in my yard I want to put it,
yep.
Get, I'm not sure how many bags I would need of peat moss, compost, and vermiculite to fill it. Do you remember how many bags you use?
Now you're really testing my mental faculties. I think it's about 2 cubic feet. So that's, I think about 6 bags total. No, it'd be more than that. I can't remember now.
Start out with 2 bags of each. Mix it together and see how
and see how far you get.
Right, and you could guesstimate from that whether you needed more.
Right.
So this would take about a half a day.
Half a day.
I'm guessing, to
yep.
put the whole thing together, get it all set up. Do you need to reinforce the corners, or just nailing them together is enough?
Just nailing them together is enough.
Okay.
If you see you've got a problem, you can always drive some stakes in to shore it up at the corners if you need to.
So I know how you use the pantyhose, but how do you build, what kind of trellises or supports have you built for your square foot gardens?
Well, what the last summer, I just took some metal fence, some 6 foot tall metal fence posts, and drove them. Took two per garden, and drove them on the corners at the back of the square foot gardens, and then I just attached fencing, 5 foot high fencing to it. So you've got, you know, a 4 foot by 5 foot piece of fencing and two metal fence posts, and away you go.
Well, that's really simple. You can pick that.
Yep.
All that can be picked up at a Lowe's or a Home Depot or
right.
Any of those kinds of stores. Any nursery would probably have it.
Right. And so you've got a little bit of initial outlay, but if you think about it, that's all you've got. And you've got it as long as you live at that house, your garden's there, and you don't have to spend another dime on it. You don't need a rototiller. You don't need anything fancy.
Now, do you replace the soil every year, or do you just
No.
add more compost?
I just add more compost.
Oh, good. So
and just work it into the existing soil, and that seems to work really well.
Oh, so you must take the string off.
Yes.
To mix it.
Yep.
You know, at the beginning of the season.
Yes, that's right. And then just
and then after that, once you put the strings or the lath down, you don't have to do that again.
Right. What I did was I just put some roofing nails at 1 foot intervals on each side, and that's how I tie my string off for the grid.
Mm-hmm. And if you're using lath, you could either use nails or screws and just take up the ones on the
yep.
outside.
Yep.
And if you connected the ones that cross each other, they would just stay together, and all you have to do is bring them back and screw them back in the same holes.
Exactly.
No, that's easy. Well, we've got a couple of questions here.
Oh, good.
You up for some questions?
I'll try to answer them.
Oh, this one's the interesting one from Mark in Charleston. You're a dad. I introduced you as having kids.
Uh-huh.
How do you encourage your children to help?
Well, the helping's the easy part. It's the eating the vegetables that's the hard part.
I can understand that.
They love it. Because, you know, it's a patch of really intense color in the yard, and they're drawn to it. I mean, and most kids love gardening, and when you put it in a square foot garden, it's just, you know, they can reach everything, and it's great. And because you're not using chemicals, you don't worry about them getting exposed to anything.
Well, that really sort of answers the question I've got from Muriel in Atlanta, and she wanted to know, do you have to use pesticides on your garden?
You don't have to. I mean, you can if you want. Some people do, but I try to avoid it. You know, I use pepper spray and things to discourage the bugs. And, you know, I've got a friend that has one, and he goes out every day, and he picks the bugs off his plants, and that's a little more work than I want to do.
Yeah, but it still doesn't sound too difficult because you're not talking about a huge surface
no.
area.
No.
So does raising the vegetables, your kids helping you raise the vegetables, doesn't particularly help them to eat them, huh?
No. I've got one. My son is he's on what I call the white diet. He eats bread, rice, potatoes, if they're French fries, and drinks milk, and his vegetable is ketchup.
Well, at least he's getting something.
Yeah.
Oh, kids and vegetables is an ever-ending battle for parents.
That's right.
Well, Stephanie in Torrington says, I have no carpentry skills. What tools do I need? How difficult is this to make?
It's easy. you don't even, you know, I've talked about railroad ties. I mean, you don't, you could just get 2x6s and slap those together. I'm sure that if Stephanie's not handy with, it was Stephanie, right?
Yes.
I'm sure if Stephanie's not handy with hammer and nails, that there's somebody in her neighborhood or somebody in the family that could put that together. I mean, it would take all of 15 minutes to do that, to either hammer it or screw it together,
so
it, and then it's just...
just a matter of putting it down.
Yeah.
Wherever you want it.
Yeah, I used the railroad. Well, I just used what I had because I had determined I was going to do the first one as cheaply as possible. I didn't need to look, pretty, and it certainly didn't, without any plants in it. You know, I had two railroad ties, some cinder blocks, and a log from the woods behind our house. And my wife, oh, she had a fit, but after it was full of green vegetables, she didn't really seem to mind as much.
Well, you could potentially, even if somebody was building a house nearby, you might be able to find some discarded wood that would work for you. I mean, I'd certainly
sure.
ask the construction crew, but they may have some leftover ends that just don't fit anything they need.
Sure.
But to four-foot-long 2x6s, aren't that difficult, and they don't come 4 foot long. They come 8 foot long, so you can have Lowe's or whoever cut them in half for you, then you don't have to saw them.
Right. So I would think you would have probably less than $100 in initial construction, depending on, you know, what, how economical you want it to be. But that's really the only major expense you'll ever have with it.
Well, Stephanie says, thanks for your answer on construction. What plants do you recommend for starting out?
Well, leaf lettuce is great. Peas early in the season and planted in August are great for taking advantage of. If you've got the fence up at the back of your square foot garden, they are really great. Lima beans work well, pole beans, you know, a tomato plant will go in any of those squares, broccoli, radishes, carrots. You can grow just about anything. We like Oriental eggplant done on the grill, so we always have at least 4 or 5 squares of just Oriental eggplant.
Well, Denise in Portland, how many people would a 4x4 garden feed with vegetables? I have 3 children and my husband and I. This really sounds like a way of cutting down my food budget.
It would, to be honest, she would probably want to have 3 or 4.
You mean 3 or 4 squares?
Three or four foot squares.
Mm-hmm. For the whole family?
But for the whole family, and that would cut down her food budget, and it would still be, I mean, that would just be super manageable as far as time. I mean, it wouldn't take, you know, it just does not take that much time to take care of these things as opposed to doing the rows. And, like what I started with 1. The next year I had 2. The next year I had 4. And it's kind of addictive. And
limited only by your yard.
Yep.
So you think that a family of 4 needs about 3 or 4 of those?
Yeah, yeah.
And, of course, if you have 1 square too many, it's called canning or freezing or putting them up
right.
and saving them for later.
Yep.
Well, Jennifer in San Diego has a different question. She says a dollar store would be a good place for pantyhose, especially since you don't care about the color or size.
That's right.
So I just thought I'd pass it on to all of the listeners that if you need pantyhose.
I'm going to jump in my car as soon as it's cold and head for the dollar store.
It's cheaper at the dollar store, and yes, unless you use the used ones from your significant other, assuming it's your significant other is a female. If you're the female and you have a run in your pantyhose, remember, save all those for your square foot garden.
That's right.
Now, John in Portland, have you ever had cutworm problems with your tomatoes? Do they stay out of the raised bed gardens?
No, they don't really stay out of the raised bed gardens.
So you can still have a problem with them.
You can still have a problem with them, and I've got a friend that has one, and what he does is he just goes ahead and he has his tomato plants in a separate, 1 year he didn't even have them in raised beds. He just had his tomato plants off in a separate plot because of bug issues. And he didn't want to expose all his vegetables to the stuff that he was using on his tomatoes.
So he was using some pesticides to control the issues with his tomatoes, and he didn't want to contaminate, I guess is the term we might look for, his other vegetables.
Right. He was concerned about his lettuce primarily. He didn't want the lettuce to be exposed to all that. So he just went ahead and had the tomatoes off by themselves. They weren't even in a square bed garden at that first year.
So nothing is foolproof.
No,
you can still have problems.
Yep.
I have a lot of cats in the neighborhood. Does the raised bed slow them down?
No, but fencing would.
Yeah.
You can always put netting or fencing up.
Around the square foot garden?
Yeah.
And keep them out that way?
Keep them out that way. It also works for the bunnies.
Yeah, if you live out in the country, you have those problems. Or some places have gophers and other animals that come around looking for food.
Yep.
Muriel in Atlanta wants to know, with your experience, what plants wouldn't you plant again?
Pumpkins.
Okay, why?
Well, we just don't really have a use. I mean, we use them for decoration, but we really don't have any use for them. So that it's just a personal thing with us. But I mean, we've planted Doc Martin lima beans, we've done pole beans, we've done snap peas, Italian green beans. I really like the vertical gardening with squirrel. I just think it's neat because you've got this, you know, you've got all the lower vegetable plants, and then you've got this vertical going up the back, and it's just really cool. And but pumpkins are the only ones that we've not come back to. We've even done corn. It's not. One year we did popcorn with the kids, and that was a lot of fun. And we've done Indian corn in the square bed garden.
So you can grow just about anything there. It's just personal preferences.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, Fred and Roberta in Sun City wanted to know if you could grow potatoes or other root crops in these raised beds.
Yes. As a matter of fact, yeah, you can do potatoes. I've never done potatoes. But, yeah, you can do potatoes in the square foot gardens.
Now, would you need to make it a deeper garden for things like potatoes?
I've got to be honest, I don't have the answer for that one. It's in the book, but I've never really grown potatoes, so I've never looked at that page in the book, to tell you the truth.
Okay, well, then we'll have to refer them to the book for that answer. I would suspect you could.
Yeah.
You might just have to make it deeper.
Yeah, I know you can. You can grow root vegetables. I've just never done potatoes in mine.
Okay, Fred and Roberta and Sun City want to know what surprises happened when you first started a raised bed garden.
Well, the biggest surprise for me was that it worked. because I've really had my doubts. And then I was amazed at how well it worked. And then I was like, I'd go by these guys that were toiling away in their giant feed the world gardens, and I'm like, man, why are you doing that? I mean, they enjoy it, and it's, but you know, it didn't work for me. I was in the restaurant business at the time, and I really a square foot garden, the time that it took and the energy it took was just perfect for me at the time. And but that was the biggest surprise, was how well it worked.
Well, I've got a question from an anonymous source. Could I grow a rose bush or something like that in one of these squares?
I don't see why not. I've never grown a rose bush.
That, of course, would be a more permanent structure.
Yeah, it would be a fixture.
But you think they could do it?
I think so. Just have to keep it pruned so it didn't take over, you know, start invading the other spaces.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of invading, Phil in Los Angeles says his tomatoes grow 5 to 6 feet wide. How do you contain a spreading plant?
Tomato cage. And, I mean, even with a tomato cage, they still pop out. But I'll use the first year I had some giant ones, and I've gone to smaller varieties now. And but you know, you use the good old tomato cage. I mean, tomatoes. I mean, they're like weeds once they get going, and there's really no controlling a tomato plant. But it's not, I don't find it to be that much of a frustration.
Okay. Well, I've got I think what I'd like to do, if it's okay with you, is to unmute the line and see if anyone on the line has any questions, and then we can get back to the questions that have been written in.
Okay.
So let me unmute the lines. Is anyone on the phone line have any questions? Any questions from the phone line? Well, I guess I'll mute the phone line and we'll get back to the written questions.
Sure.
Okay, well, I'm back to Jennifer's question from San Diego. What types of lettuce do you recommend?
Well, you can do any kind of lettuce, Craig. You can do head lettuces, you know, one per square, or you can do I like the field mix style lettuces myself, the leaf lettuces, and we usually get the pack of the assorted seeds and sprinkle those into a couple squares, and you know, you just come along and clip them while they're young and do that, but any lettuce will work.
Well, now we have a crowd control question from John in Portland. You say you live near the woods. Do you have deer? It seems to me it would be like a feeding trough. At times, a deer around me just munch most of my new plants. Do you have any suggestions?
Yep. Well, our yard is fenced, so the deer stay out. But yeah, it would be like a feeding trough, I would think. Definitely would want to have some sort of a fence or netting around it to keep them out. The nice thing about it is it takes a lot less fence to fence in a square foot garden than it does to if you're planting in rows. Another plus.
I don't think so. You just need to fence outside a walk area around the square
right.
foot garden.
Yep.
So you'd be able to get inside and then walk around.
So you can work the sides and be mm-hmm. able to reach in and take care of your garden. That's right.
Well, I have an anonymous question here. Have you grown herbs in your raised bed garden? Which ones work
yes.
well?
They all do. And it's just a matter of, you know, the thing I try to do is if I use one square for basil one year, then I'll move it around. I'll plant something else in the basil square. And, I mean, I don't keep records of it or anything, but I just try to, you know, when I finish out a crop in a square, I'll come back with something else and just keep it rotating. But the herbs work really well, just like flowers, and any plant will work in a square-foot garden.
Well, I have one last question, at least at this time, from Muriel in Atlanta. What plants can't you mix in one raised bed garden?
I don't know.
You haven't found anything that doesn't work.
I just let Mother, you know, I just sort of plant them and let Mother Nature take care of it. But I'm, you know, there are certain plants that work well that thrive together, and then there's some that don't. But I've never taken the time to study it.
Okay. Well, let me unmute the lines one more time and see if anyone on the phone line has a question. Are there any questions from the phone line? Any questions at all? I guess not. And I don't have any more questions here. Maybe, Dean, you could summarize the 10 steps or the 10 things you need to do to be successful at raised bed gardening.
Sure. Well, the one thing I didn't mention before, but we talked about it a couple times during the call, was you need to find a spot that gets 6 to 8 hours of sunshine in a day, and then you lay out a 4-foot by 4-foot area and build a box and put your soil mix in it, which, again, is a third compost, a third peat moss, and a third like a coarse vermiculite, and get that mixed up and put it in the box, fill it to the top or fairly close to the top, and then you get your 1-foot grid pattern established with string or lath or rods or whatever you want to use, and then plant a different plant in each square. And the way I do it is the plants at the front are the smaller plants, the lettuces, carrots, that sort of thing, and then the broccolis and peppers and eggplants go in the middle rows, and then the taller plants, you know, whether it be corn or something that climbs, goes in the back. And just water, you know, every couple days with warm water. And when you harvest out a square, just add some more compost to the to that square and plant a different vegetable or herb or flower in that square, and start all over again.
Well, Dean, I want to thank you for coming on the call. This has been very informative. I think I need to try some square foot gardening myself. It sounds not only productive, but relatively easy and
yes,
inexpensive.
It is. Yep.
So thank you for coming on the call, and I guess this is time to say goodbye.
Well, Craig, before we go, we probably should let me give you a website, the official website for this Mel Bartholomew, the author of the book, has is called squarefootgardening.com. And that has everything that he's got his books available. He's got some videos. He's got all sorts of stuff for sale there, and it's money well spent. I mean, you'll just if you're into gardening or you're wanting to get started in gardening, it's certainly the way to go, I think. And you know, the one thing we didn't mention was that for someone that's in a wheelchair or has a physical disability, you can do smaller versions of that you can do a 1 foot by 1 foot raised bed garden, or you can do multiples, and you could actually get those raised up on a table or on legs. You know, make a planting box that would be accessible for somebody that can't bend or stoop.
That's right. All we need to do is raise it up to the proper height for the individual.
That's right. And I believe that there is a section on the website about that. But it's a great website, and I urge everybody to go take a look at it and try it. Just build one. You know, if you're gardening in rows right now, just keep doing what you're doing, but invest a little bit of money and try a 4 foot by 4 foot square foot garden and see how much fun you have.
Sounds good. So if you need more information, you go to squarefootgardening.com.
That's right.
Okay. Well, again, thank you for being on this call. It's been very helpful for me, and I'm sure it has been for our listeners.
Okay, Craig. Well, it was a lot of fun.
It certainly was. And I'll be saying goodnight to everyone now.